What is doctrine? Who wrote the doctrines in the scriptures? Where do we use doctrine? Why should I care about doctrine anyway? How many doctrines are in the scriptures? Are all doctrines right for me today? What are the scriptures' doctrines or truths to live by? Welcome to Scripture School. My name is Christine Carpenter. I'm glad you've joined us today for the basics of Bible doctrine. We're going to get into the scriptures. We're going to find out what the scriptures have to say to us today. Let's get started. Turn with me in your Bible to the second book of Timothy. If you remember, all the T's are together in the back of the New Testament. Depending on how much information your Bible has at the back of the book, a concordance or maps or study guides or questions, it's still toward the back. So go to the back of your New Testament Bible and look for the T's. If you find Thessalonians, it comes first. If you find Titus, it's after Timothy. So go to 2 Timothy chapter 3, and we're going to verse 16. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man or woman of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. I hope that you will go with me on this journey. We're going to look at doctrine, reproof, correction, and instruction in righteousness, but not all today. We're going to start with doctrine today. So let's begin our journey. What does the Bible have to say about doctrine? Turn to Mark chapter 7. Mark is one of the Gospels. If you find the New Testament, it's a little bit past halfway in your Bible. The middle of your Bible is actually Psalms, usually, depending on how much information is at the front and at the back. Go to the Gospels. You'll find Matthew first, then you'll find Mark. We're going to Mark chapter 7. The same text is found in Matthew in chapters 15 and 16. Mark chapter 7. Let me check my notes here. We want to look at verse 6. He answered and said unto them, well hath Isaiah prophesied of you, hypocrites, as it is written, this people honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Howbeit, in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. Well, let's have a visual aid to remember the commandments of men. This is a time-honored tradition. Wise man's 100% pure vinegar. Decomposed, fermented, and distilled for centuries, always found in the best of pickles. So let's remember, Jesus talked about the doctrines of men. To be cautioned, to beware. But what is doctrine? Let's look at the American Heritage Dictionary definition. It says, something that is taught, a principle or body of principles taught or advocated in instruction, a principle or creed of principles presented for acceptance or belief as by a religious, political, scientific, or philosophic group. Dogma, theory, teaching, learning. It's true that the Bible contains doctrine, but not all of the Bible is doctrine. For example, in the book of Timothy, we read, no longer drink water, but drink wine for your stomach's sake and oft infirmities. Well, none of us run to the faucet and turn it off or reach for a corkscrew. This is not doctrine. Nor do we run eagerly to sell all of our possessions, to take the money, distribute it to the poor, and then take up a cross and follow after Jesus. This is just not doctrine for us today. So how do we know what doctrines to follow, and how do we know what the doctrines are in the Bible? Because Jesus warned there are many doctrines that are not the doctrines of God, but the doctrines of men. Let's see what else the Bible says about doctrines in its warnings and cautions. Let's look at Mark chapter 12, verse 38 and 40. Beware of the scribes, which love to go in long clothing and love salutations in the marketplace, the chief seats in the synagogue, and the uppermost rooms at feasts. For a pretense, they make long prayers. And Jesus cautioned also in Matthew 7, beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Later in the Bible, the Apostle Paul gives his caution also. He tells the church at Rome about false doctrine, saying, now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses among you, contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and avoid them, for they are such that serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. Paul also writes to the Ephesian church, and he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, some teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth no more be children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Again, we're talking about men trying to deceive in doctrine. To the Colossian church, Paul wrote, wherefore, if you be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world, why, as though living in the world, are you subject to ordinances after the commandments and doctrines of men? The Bible has a lot more to say about warnings. And one more kind of doctrine we're going to bring into the picture today. In the Bible, it says, now the Spirit speaks expressly that in the latter times, and some people call these the latter times, some shall depart from the faith, talking about some Christians, shall depart from the faith of God, giving heed to seducing spirits. And remember how Eve was seduced and deceived in the garden? They will give heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Well, we have a visual aid for the devil. This is the falling star vodka, 100% proof, or 90% proof vodka, because he never does anything 100%. He just gives you a little bit of God in there and a whole bunch of him in there, or vice versa. This is devilishly good. It is made from, is made naturally from nature's best. And this is superior to all other brands. So the devilish doctrine would tell you. So this will remind us, this 90 proof vodka will remind us that there is another kind of doctrine beside the doctrines of men that we are to avoid. All right, looking on, if there are so many wrong doctrines, how many wrong doctrines are there? There are more than this, but these will contain enough for today. How do we know where to start with the good doctrine? Well, the best place to start is probably with the oldest and most popular and best known of the doctrines, and that would be the Ten Commandments. Now, take your notebook and your writing instrument and start jotting down those Ten Commandments, and do it in order if you can, and I'll continue teaching while you get those Ten Commandments written down. They're found in the second book of the Pentateuch. Remember, the Pentateuch is the Hebrew first five books of the Bible. That would be Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, also called the Law of Moses. So the second book of the Pentateuch has the Ten Commandments. We also use that in our Christian Bible. Also written in those first five books of the Bible, because it is called the Law of Moses, are the ceremonial law relating specifically to Israel's worship. And for Christians, the ceremonial law points to Jesus in symbols and rituals. And the second kind of law found in the Pentateuch is the civil law. And that applied to ethical treatment of fellow citizens and foreigners. For Christians, the civil law contains principles of daily living with others in courteous, forgiving ways, just as Jesus demonstrated in his earthly walk. And the third law is the moral law. That would be the Ten Commandments, which you're writing out right now. And those are direct commands from God and require strict obedience. For Christians, the moral law reveals the nature and will of God, and Jesus was an example fulfilling that perfectly. In the United States of America, these civil laws and moral laws are what our judicial system is based upon. Depending on which denomination or which religion that you identify with, the ceremonial laws are practiced in sacraments and other such religious worship. So how many of the Ten Commandments did you get written down? I'll go with you to the book of Exodus, or you can follow along as we have the list before us. Again, Exodus is the second book in the Old Testament, at the beginning of the scripture. Exodus chapter 20, and we're going to read, beginning at verse 1. And God spoke all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. And here we go. Because God has brought them out, he tells them, number 1, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself unto them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of thy Lord God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt do no work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, nor thy maidservant, nor thy menservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, thou, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Those are the Ten Commandments. How many did you get right? Did you get them in order? That would be great. Well, who wrote the Ten Commandments? The Bible tells us that God wrote the Ten Commandments. And God also dictated to Moses the laws and the ordinances that the people are to live by. In addition, probably around 1290 BC, the Bible gives us doctrines to live by. And right at the beginning of the New Testament, Jesus takes on those Old Testament doctrines from 1290 BC. And he has a little bit different take on them. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 5. Again, Matthew, the first book in the New Testament. If you have that bookmark in between the Old Testament and the New Testament, it'll be easy to find Matthew chapter 5. This Bible has red lettering in it for where Jesus speaks. Perhaps yours doesn't. It's a wonderful thing to have, a wonderful way to find what Jesus said. We're going to start, all of the words in red are great, but we're going to start at verse 17, where Jesus says, "Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets." That would be all the laws and all the ordinances that were written before Jesus appeared. "I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled." A jot and a tittle were the little marks and the curlicues on the Hebrew letters and the Aramaic letters. So not even the letters would go away until Jesus fulfilled everything. He goes on and says, "Whosoever shall therefore break one of these least commandments and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoso shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven." I will not comment on what our society and our media has done to these, but you can figure that out. In verse 21, he says, "You have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not kill, and whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of judgment. But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment, and whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. But whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hell fire." Verse 27, "You have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you, that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her, hath committed adultery with her already in his heart." And in verse 43, "You have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them that despitefully use you and persecute you." And further, we're going to read in Mark chapter 1. That will be the next book. Mark chapter 1 and verse 25. Excuse me, 21. Verse 21. "And they went into Capernaum," that's a town on the Sea of Galilee. "And straightway on the Sabbath day he entered into the synagogue and taught." Verse 22. "And they were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one that had authority and not as the scribes." The things that Jesus taught turned the world upside down, showing that not always do man's ideas of what God meant line up with what God really meant. Jesus refined those. Jesus said, "You haven't gotten the heart and the depth of the law of God." And so we want to know what the scriptures say. We want to know, where do we start? How do we start? Well, Jesus in Matthew chapter 5 gives us, again, back to the first book, gives Matthew 5, chapter 1. And seeing the multitudes, he went up to a mountain, and he sat with his disciples there. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. These are called the Beatitudes. Because I call them the Beatitudes because that's what we should be. But keep your attitude in mind. Beatitudes mean the blessed. And the word blessed is where each one of these quick eight pithy sayings begins. Jesus, again, turned conventional man's wisdom upside down with the perspective of God. Blessed are the poor? How can we say that? Well, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. There are too many teachings of Jesus and too many doctrines of Jesus to talk about in this session. But you'll need to get in and find those yourself in the scriptures. Read all the red words to begin with. And we'll continue looking at some of the more important ones by turning over into Matthew 6. And we're going to look at chapter 6, verse 25. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they? Which of you, taking thought, can add one inch to his stature? And why take thought for your clothes? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his regal glory was not arrayed like one of these. Therefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, how shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, What shall we eat, what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For all these things does your Father know you have need of. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Jesus was straight out about seeking first the kingdom of God and righteousness. He tells the people in Luke 16:16, the law and the prophets were until John. Since that time, the kingdom of God is preached, and everyone presses in for it. Seek first the kingdom of God. How do we do that? Matthew 7 tells us. Again, in the book of Matthew, a rich field. Matthew 7 and verse 7 begins with, Ask and it shall be given you, seek and you shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asks receives, and everyone that seeks finds, and to everyone that knocks it is opened. These are levels of earnestness that we go before God with our requests. We can't go with just any request, though. We can't just ask for anything we want and expect to get it. No, perhaps when you're in prayer, or when you're studying the scriptures, or when you're thinking on the things of God, something quickens to your heart by the Holy Spirit, and it says, This is for you now. This is for you now. Those are the things that we ask God for. Because we know that if we pray according to God's will, we'll have whatever requests that we make known of Him. Now, you might be thinking, I have known people, or maybe you yourself have known that you prayed for something and what you expected didn't happen. How do you deal with that disappointment? How do you deal with that disillusionment? Well, the Bible teaches us how to do that. That's not the first principles of the basic doctrines of God, though. That's a little bit more advanced, but we have a study guide for that. If you'll write me, I'll send it to you. Request a study guide on how to handle disappointment when you don't get what you pray for. So, none of us want to pray amiss. The scriptures tell us you have not because you ask not, and you ask amiss. You ask for the wrong things. None of us want to err. Jesus told one of the followers of his, you err because you know not the scriptures nor the power of God. Again, we need to get into the scriptures. We need to read all those red print scriptures. Once someone asked Jesus, what is the great commandment? And Jesus said, the greatest commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. And the second, which he didn't ask what the second greatest commandment was, but Jesus threw it in there. And the second commandment is to love your neighbor as yourself. And he told him, all the law and all the prophets fulfill those commandments. The Apostle Paul told the Romans that all the commandments against adultery, murder, stealing, coveting, and any other commandment are summed up in this one commandment, love your neighbor as yourself. He told the same thing to the Galatians. In our attempt to fulfill the commandments and learn the doctrines that we are to use daily, we will knowingly and unknowingly come across other doctrines that try to presume their way. Churches teach doctrine that are interpretations of Scripture. We need to be cautious about what we follow. Cults teach things that are often called devilish doctrine in the Scripture. In James chapter 3, verse 15, Jesus says that even in the church, devilish Scripture has crept in. The author of 1 John writes, look to yourselves that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. Whosoever transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ does not have God. But he that does abide in the doctrine of Christ has God and Jesus Christ. The doctrine of Christ is found in the scriptures in Hebrews chapter 6. And James talks about that. The wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy, of good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Let's call that the divine water of eternal life. 100% pure at the source, no expiration date on this, and satisfaction guaranteed. So, let's remember that we need to stay in the doctrine of Christ, the divine water of life eternal. I present to you that you are an empty vessel that can be filled. That when religion is difficult to swallow, it's probably a mixed drink. But we need to drink the pure divine water and fill our vessels. Vinegar looks the same as vodka and water. It's hard to tell with the natural eye which is which, but the Holy Spirit will lead us and guide us into all truth. When you find it's hard to swallow something religious, go back to the scriptures. Search them all out to discern which is the doctrine of God. I invite you back next week to study with us when we discover what Hebrews chapter 6, verses 1 and 2 have to say about the doctrine of Christ. We'll be looking into that first doctrine, which is the repentance from dead works, and how do we repent from dead works.